But now if you want the God of heaven to speak to your mind so that he informs your mouth what to do with your tongue and express with your lips, if you want God in your gums and the Lord over your lips, then I can tell you how to direct your life. Because it's such a small thing, he says, can direct the whole horse and can direct the whole ship, and it can direct the whole life. Well, you can have the devil in your mouth, or you can have God in your gums. I think we want God in our gums, don't we? Tony Evans with the Urban Alternative, and I'm excited to be with you again to tell you more about this series on the use of our mouths. It's when I began studying this, I was overwhelmed with how much the Bible had to say about our speech and why it matters. Well, today we're going to tell you about how to have God in your gums so that you can have him on your side. Because if he's not in your gums, he may not even be on your side. Let's get to God's word and find out exactly what that means. God knew that the tongue was so dangerous. He put it behind bars called teeth. And put it in a cage called your mouth. Because he knew whenever you let that thing loose, it can do a lot of damage. There are two kinds of people here today. Those who've done damage with their tongue and those who've been damaged with their tongue when it was let loose out of the cage of your mouth and broke out of the bars of your teeth. All manner of beasts can be tamed, but no man has been able to tame the tongue. And the Bible speaks about the tongue that it is set with the very fire of hell. And we've heard it. We've heard it said. We've said it ourselves. We've seen the fire of hell come from our speech. But we've also discovered previously that God said, if you ever learn to manage the tongue, you can handle the rest of you. The question on the floor today is, how do I do that? How do I shift my speech so that it works for me and not against me, especially since it's a big deal to God? In the passage read in your hearing, Moses says to God, I can't talk. God has told Moses, I've got an assignment for you. Go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Moses said, I don't want to talk to him. Because there's some time that folk in your life you don't want to talk to. I want to talk to him because he's not nice. See, Pharaoh wanted to incarcerate the people of God and ultimately destroy them. And he says, you want me to go talk to him? He says, I can't talk to him. I have not been eloquent in speech. I don't know how to communicate. He says, I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to talk to them. So God has to give him a little lesson in theology. He says to Moses, who made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf, blind or being able to see? Is it not I, the Lord? He said, now I told you what I want you to do. You are telling me you can't do what I ask you to do. Like you made your mouth. Like you are the creator of you. He says, who brought you here? Who made your mouth that you're telling me of what you can't say when I told you to say? Yeah, but God, I'm limited. I don't have the speech capacity to talk to this guy who I don't like. Even you have condemned him. Well, Moses, let me explain how this works. Verse 12, now then go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say. Wow. Since I made it and I want you to use it, I will be in it when it's time to say it. Did you know that a major part of God's relationship with you involves him being Lord over your lips? He says, not only am I telling you to go talk to somebody you don't want to talk to, I am telling you I'm going to give you the words to say when it comes time to talk to them. Now, why is this a big deal? Why does God want to involve speech? Because God created words to create purpose. Remember, in the beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was light. So words were used not only to convey content, but to achieve a purpose. And the Bible says, and when God said, it was so, because God spoke to accomplish. He didn't just speak because he was in a talking mood. He spoke because words were supposed to work out his will. And he created us in the image of God. So in granting us speech, he was granting us the ability to take words and put them to work to accomplish his will. And he says, if you let me be your speechwriter, I will communicate to you so that you can communicate from you to accomplish something. That raises a question, doesn't it? How do I get God to be my speechwriter? How do I get God to control my content? How do I get God to maneuver what I'm to say in this situation with this peer person at this time about this subject? If God wants to become that intimate with me, that he really wants to be involved in what I say, when I say it, how I say it, to whom I say it, you mean God wants to be that involved with me? Absolutely, Moses, I will tell you what to say. When Jesus came into the world, Jesus made an interesting statement. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 49, Jesus said these words. He says, I only say what the Father tells me to speak. So it's when Jesus, the Son of the living God, came into the world, he says, when I talk, that's because God told me what to talk about. I'm in such a relationship with the Father that I only speak what he said speak. So that's how Jesus rolled. That's how Jesus communicated, which was why every word he said was perfect, well-timed, and appropriate to the content and the audience to whom he spoke. You know, all the cameras are on Jesus Christ. In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But when Jesus died and rose from the dead, Jesus said, I'm sending you another comforter. Somebody who's going to represent me like I represented the Father. His name is the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he's going to do for you, my children, what my Father did for me. He's going to transfer information. Not only in the writing of the Bible, he's going to transfer information in your communication. Look at Mark chapter 13, verse 11. Mark chapter 13, verse 11, the second book of the New Testament. And watch this statement. When they arrest you, and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you are to say. But say whatever is given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Holy Spirit. But if you don't know the Holy Spirit talks, and you don't know how to hear his voice, then you talking on your own, and you're not talking from what he told you to say. If we ever learn to hear the Holy Spirit, it would change our conversation so that our words would go to work to accomplish a will and not just be verbalization into nothingness. He said, so powerful is God as a speechwriter. So powerful is he when he talks to you so he can talk through you. That you don't even have to worry about what you're going to say in advance. He says, when they come to arrest you, which means these are not your friends. These are your enemies here. These folk coming to put you in jail. He says, because it's easy to talk to your friends, but he says, when they come to arrest you, when they come to do damage to you, when you have negative people in your life, when there are irregular folk, and they're coming to do negative to you, he says, don't worry. Because in that very hour, that is at that very moment, the Holy Spirit will give to you what you are to say. Now notice the two phrases. He will give it to you, then you will say it. In other words, don't say it till he gives it to you, but he won't give it to you until the hour that you need it. See, it's the job of the Holy Spirit to localize what you're receiving in church nationally. Because if all you're hanging on is the national news, then you're going to miss out on local programming. You're going to miss out on what he wants to say to you, about you, through you, because you have a unique situation different than the person next to you, behind you, or in front of you. So unless you learn to walk in the Spirit, unless you learn to hear the voice of God speaking to the mind so that he can dictate to the mouth, then you will miss how he wants to specifically lead you to address this local, your personal scenario by means of the Holy Spirit. The Bible is God's rule book. It applies to you and 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 me. It applies to everybody. But the Holy Spirit has your playbook. The unique things he wants to guide you in. Now the Holy Spirit's playbook is never going to operate outside of God's rule book. But what he does is apply the rule book to your playbook so you know what play to call in the individual situation you find yourself in, which is why he says the Holy Spirit will tell you in that hour. Because it's at that moment you're being arrested, you're in this crisis, you're in this difficulty, and you need to know what to say at that moment. You need to know the rule book, but you need a specific play.
We'll return for more of today's message right after this special announcement from Dr. Evans. We now return to today's message.
You may hear the word of God in church, and you may decide that's what I'm going to do. But when you face the opposition who's moving on the field of play, you need to hear the Holy Spirit say, Tennessee, 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 it's time to shift the play. The Holy Spirit wants to audibleize your communication, but unless you are in contact with Him, you won't hear Him. You'll be going with an old play for a new situation. God wants to be your speechwriter. And He wants the privilege to edit in motion. Okay, here's how this works. Everybody who's a Christian receives the Holy Spirit. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have the Holy Spirit. The Bible calls it indwelling. You are indwelt by the third member of the Trinity who represents the other two in your life. It's the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer that allows you to move in concert with the will of God. Luke chapter 11, verses 11 to 13. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? He says, a good father doesn't give their kid a snake or a scorpion. Now, what's a snake or a scorpion? Look back at chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. So serpents and scorpions represent the power of the enemy. So it's the devil after you, it's demons after you, or demon-inspired people after you. He says, those are serpents and scorpions. You know, we call people a snake in the grass. That's a scorpion. It's a negative scenario. He says, I will give you authority over them. But that authority comes by means of the Holy Spirit. But how do I get the Holy Spirit? He says, ask Him. He says, ask Him. You mean it's that easy? Oh, yeah, it's that easy. All I got to do is ask Him. He says, and when you request the presence of the Holy Spirit in that hour, as on an as-need basis, He says, I will give you authority because He has authority. Isaiah 50, verse 4. Isaiah says it these words. He says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. Oh, wow. He said, God wakes me up. He starts talking to me in the morning so that I know how to use my tongue today. In other words, He wakes up in the morning and He says, now my request is that you will speak by your Spirit through my lips by putting your ideas in my mind as I speak and audibleize them as I need them. He starts his day off invoking the Holy Spirit to use his tongue. The Bible calls this concept to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. He says, be not drunk with wine, which is destructive. He says, be full. I do want you to get drunk, but not with wine or Jack Daniels or Hennessy, whatever you want to do. He says, don't be drunk with wine, which is destruction. He says, I want you to be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit starts governing your speech, you're going to know it because you're going to say, where did that come from? I wouldn't normally have said that to that person that way. I wouldn't have normally related that way. But the question is, do I just want to vent, or do I want to accomplish his will with my words? If you want to vent, you can do that all day. Do that all day. But he says, when you request the fulfilling of the Holy Spirit, when you request for God to govern your tongue, when you request for God to be in your gums, for God to be Lord of your lips, when you invite the Holy Spirit, he says, he will meet you at the need in that hour. Even though you haven't pre-thought it or know what you're going to say. It's in this everyday stuff that God becomes real to you. It's in this everyday stuff that you're not just going to church and hearing a sermon, but you're hearing God talk and deal with you as an individual Christian, because the Holy Spirit is the means by which Jesus makes himself real today to his believers. Let's look at one other scripture. I love this one. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah, the great prophet, in the year that King Uzziah died, it says Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up with his train filling the temple. He saw the glorious God, and then he heard something. He heard the angels. And when he heard the angels, this is what he heard. He said, the seraphim stood above him in verse 2 with 6 wings. 2 they covered their face, 2 they covered their feet, 2 they flew, and 1 called out to the other and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold trembled at the voice of him who called out while the temple was filling with smoke. Verse 5, woe is me. I am ruined. That means coming apart at the seams, because I am a man of unclean lips. Woe. When I saw God, I saw my mouth. And my mouth was dirty when I saw God. Then he says, I dwell among a people of unclean lips. So my mouth is dirty and their mouth is dirty. But you know what? You can be around dirt so long you don't feel it's dirty no more. He says, on that day when I saw the Lord, I was reminded of how evil my tongue was. That's not only profanity, that's putting people down, that's gossip, that's tearing people up, ripping people's character apart, using my tongue to hurt other people. It can be a whole different way, but everybody's doing it. Until I see God high and lifted up. And I understand my lips are unclean, and he's the prophet, he's the preacher that can't control his mouth. It's how deep it had gotten. And he says, when I saw God lifted up and when I saw how the angels talk, I said, woe is me. Sometimes it comes out when you're complaining when you ought to be thankful. Complaining about what you don't have when you have what you do need. Spend all your week complaining and hardly a minute giving thanks. The person who said, I complain that I had no shoes until I saw the man who had no feet. I changed what I saw. Sometimes our mouths are used in a way opposite to what the Holy Spirit once said in a given situation. And when your mouth is used opposite to what God wants to say in a given situation, God's will is not being worked through your words, so don't expect it to work out. That's why you can fuss for years about the same subject and nothing improves. Because God, the Holy Spirit, was never in the conversation, so the conversation carried no heavenly clout. God didn't change anything because your words were not his. Because when he talks, worlds happen. When he talks, light enters darkness. When he talks, peace comes where confusion abounds. If he's allowed to speak. But notice what happens in closing when he confessed about his lips. Then after he acknowledged that my mouth's not right, Then, verse 6, one of the seraphims flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. Some of us need to put our mouths on the altar. That hurts when you burn your lips. He put hot coals on his lips in order to burn away the evil talk. And your sin is forgiven you. And why is that important? It's important because of verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send and who will go for us? He got instruction from heaven on how to now move ahead in his life because he was now open to the voice of God telling him what to say. In other words, your tongue can block God giving you your direction from showing you what to do next. Because you know so much and you want to talk for yourself, you guide you. But now if you want the God of heaven to speak to your mind so that he informs your mouth what to do with your tongue and express with your lips. If you want God in your gums and the Lord over your lips, then I can tell you how to direct your life. Because it's such a small thing. He says, can direct a whole horse and can direct a whole ship. And it can direct the whole life. Well, I hope you are excited and challenged by these truths about our mouth, our tongue, our words, and our speech, because there's a lot to learn from God's word on this subject of our mouths. And that's why I wrote the book, Watch Your Mouth, because we want you to understand the power of your words, for good or for bad. And so you can get this book for a gift of any amount to support the ministry of the Urban Alternative. We'll minister to you. We'll need you to help minister to us so that we can keep ministering to you through your generous contribution. Remember, the month of August is a down month for most ministries because people are moving about and they're not as focused on the ministries coming their way because of all the other things that hit them as they plan for the fall. But yet, the ministry's got to go on. We've got to keep teaching. We've still got to get these messages out to you. So would you make your gift a very generous one so that we can stay strong here at our ministry, and we want to stay strong just for you. Call us at 1-800-800-3222 or log on to tonyevans.org. We'll get you right away your copy of Watch Your Mouth. In fact, you may not only want a copy for you, you may know some people in your life who need to watch their mouths. And so you can get some for them too. But we need your support. We'll get this copy out to you right away. God bless you. Thank you for the privilege of serving.